So I read a few more verses because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or at least Krishnadas Kaviraj here, explains a little more. He says, Sankirtan hoite papa sansara nasana chitta sudhi sarva bhakti sadhana udgama. By performing congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can destroy the sinful condition of material existence, purify the unclean heart, and awaken all varieties of devotional service. Krishna premod gama premam rita asvadan Krishna prapti sevam rita samudra majan. The result of chanting is that one awakens his love for Krishna and tastes transcendental bliss. Ultimately, one attains the association of Krishna and engages in his devotional service as if immersing himself in a great ocean of love. Uttila visada dainya pada apanishlok jahar artisuni sabha jaja dukashok. Lamentation and humility awoke within Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he began reciting another of his own verses. By hearing the meaning of that verse, one can forget all unhappiness and lamentation. Nam namakari bahudani cha sarva sakti satarpitani amitas maranena kala itadrisita vakripa bhagavan mamapi durdaivam idrisam ihajini naduraga. Nam nam, of the holy names of the Lord, akari, manifested, bahuda, various kinds, nitya sarva shakti, all kinds of personal potencies. So, Krishna has so many names, and it is explained that Krishna has many names because there are different devotees who have different tastes, and therefore they desire to worship Krishna in different ways. In the 23rd chapter of Jaiva Dharma, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives an extensive explanation on this aspect of the names, and he explains that there are primary names and secondary names, or Mukhya Nam and Gona Nam. And he explains that the primary names are names of Krishna in his eternal pastimes in the spiritual world, in Golok, such as Govinda, Gopal, for example. But a name like Jagatpati is father of the universe, that's counting as a gonanam, as a secondary name. Or another one, anyway, maybe you give some examples. Why would I do all the work? Huh? Vajitapavan, yeah, deliverer of the fallen. Yeah. Other names?
Parthasarathi.
Parthasarathi. So, secondary names and primary names. So we're chanting particularly the primary names of Krishna. Because they are manifested with the full potency, the potency Sadaiswaryapurna, Krishna, who has all the potencies. So then, here it says, My Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in your holy name there is all good fortune for the living entity. And therefore you have many names, such as Krishna and Govinda, by which you expand yourself. You've invested all your potencies in those names, and there are no hard and fast rules for remembering them. Still, we see like so many offenses that are to be avoided in the matter of chanting the holy name. So it seems to be a little bewildering. There are no hard and fast rules, but so many rules apparently are there, and then attentive chanting, this and that. But the holy name acts, even if it is chanted improperly, even if it is not pronounced properly. One day, We have devotees who chant, who pronounce the name in different ways. I heard someone, Kare Krishna, Kare Krishna. I go, oh. I heard someone, every day it's taking 3 hours to chant totally sincere rounds of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. And sort of think started. Every day he was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And I must admit, in my mind, I was thinking, what if Krishna comes and then some sort of, you know, I am Krishna, you know. But no, Krishna is so merciful that even if you chant Krishna, still he comes. He comes. So he counts that also. So even if it is imperfectly pronounced, still the Supreme Lord will come himself. Of course, it can be intense. I was in a car and someone was sitting right behind me and at 20 centimeters from my ear chanting for 3 hours or 2 hours, whatever, for hours. So at one point I politely asked him, Prabhu, do you have any other tunes? Because it's getting a bit much, you know, the whole way. Rub, rub, rub. So the names of the Lord. The Lord is merciful and accepts the intention of the devotee, even if imperfectly pronounced and so on. But it's not about rules. The 10 offenses are not rules. You know, these are the rules by which you chant. Basically, if you look at the Nam Aparad, it's about taking Krishna seriously and treating Krishna respectfully. Therefore, it's not about, maybe for the neophyte, it's a rule, right? But actually, it's telling us, who are we dealing with? Be conscious that this is Krishna, the most wonderful person. Right? So give respect, give attention. So therefore, it's not so much rules. It's more indicating that. Krishna reciprocates. It's Krishna's a person, and if we are chanting without any attention, or if we are chanting without really caring for Krishna, and we just use the holy name to counteract offenses, then we use the holy name like some sort of magic. Magic tool, right? It's a magic mantra. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. What's going to happen now, right? Something, some miracle. Hocus pocus. So, the holy name is not some sort of magic sound. The holy name is Krishna personally, Abhinatvam Naminamino. And it is Krishna who comes when we are chanting. We are associating with Krishna, it says in the Adi Purana. So, therefore, we're with Krishna directly. And Krishna is therefore bestowing his mercy upon us. Krishna Surya Sam Maya Hayandakar, there where is Krishna Maya cannot be present. But we cover the name of Krishna. It is said when Nam Abbas is present, or the dim reflection of the name, it's because we cover. It's such a long sit. We cover the holy name by our false ego. Sometimes I use the example of a wall. There is a big wall of false ego between us and Krishna. So when we're chanting, this wall of false ego is in the way, but the wall, gradually the chanting knocks holes into the wall, and then you get like little glimpses, sometimes. Most of the time it's a wall, but you get a little glimpse or a crack, and you can see something through there. So we have our moments, right? And little by little, that wall breaks down until Krishna begins to reveal himself. Krishna becomes more and more a reality. So through the chanting is attracting Krishna. Not only is Krishna all attractive, and does he attract us, but the nice thing is the devotee also attracts Krishna. So it's not one way. Krishna is the only one who is attracting, but the devotee can also attract Krishna. And no service goes unnoticed by Krishna. He's Achyuta, the one who never fails to know the smallest service. So that's really very nice. That's why it is said this verse is very encouraging. The first verse is explaining to us the process and that we can attain full perfection if we dedicate ourselves to it. So we get motivated to undergo the purification. The second verse is really showing us this holy name. The power of the holy name is unlimited because Krishna is unlimited. So is non-different from Krishna, so there's no limit to the power of the holy name. And the mercy of the holy name is also unlimited. In fact, it is the most merciful manifestation of Krishna, because it said, if you make offenses to the form, to the personality of Krishna, to the deity form of Krishna, then that can be, those offenses can be purified by chanting the holy name. So in that way, the holy name is more merciful than the deity form of Krishna. Therefore, we can particularly take shelter of the holy name. The holy name reaches out to anyone, and even when a great offender chants the holy name, he gets purified. When mockingly chanted, somehow or other when chanted, although sometimes it may be outright on the edge, right? People trying to sort of in a way put the devotees down, but doesn't matter. Chanting Hare Krishna. In Amsterdam, it's a sinful place, but one of the parts of Amsterdam is little breads, you know, and there are many little bread shops where you can get bread with cheese and bread with other unedible things, which I will not mention, but, you know, and they have all these little bread shops all over the city. That's what they are. So, you know, and it's called een broodje in Dutch, you know, broodje, right? And one day, this man saw me, and he said, broodje Hare Krishna. I wasn't quite sure what he meant, if he meant two huge loaves of bread and me in the middle, right? And so I wasn't quite sure if it was offensive or what, but anyway, he said Hare Krishna. Even that counts, right? Even if he thought of me between the loaves of bread, possibly, it didn't. Still he said Hare Krishna. So he got the benefit. That's how merciful the holy name is. It still acts. I myself had a dog named Krishna somehow or other through my girlfriend, and see what happened. My girlfriend had this dog named Krishna, then I was calling the dog. See what happened. My Vartma Padarsha Guru. Krishna sends you a guru on your level. So somehow or other, the holy name penetrates into our life and acts. And we find from Chaitanya Charitamrita, even when the holy name comes in a broken form, right? And they give the example of two Sanskrit words, halam riktam, counts as Hari, even although it's broken. It still counts as Hari, and you get the benefit of saying Hari. So, you know, there are all kinds of things. The margarine, Rama, is terrible, but the name is great. And in New Zealand, there is a town called Rama Rama. Can you just imagine to take birth in Rama Rama? Where you're from, Rama Rama. In the Soviet Union, here in Mayapur, we had in the 80s, we had a big exhibition of all the Russian devotees that were in the labor camps and that were in the jails. And there were big press conferences. And little Palat, you know, as a kid, sang this song, Mr. Gorbachev, you know, set them free, please release them, set them free. And it's still on YouTube, you can check it. Prahlad, Mr. Gorbachev, you can see it on YouTube. We can recommend it. And so there was a big campaign, and eventually the Russian devotees got out of the labor camps, and then they were allowed to visit India, and they came here, and it was a big event, and we were all receiving them, and they had appointed Bhakti Charu Maharaj and Kesava Bharati Maharaj to hug them, because they are good huggers. I don't know which ladies they chose for hugging, I can't remember, but they are the best huggers in the movement, you know, amongst the top. I mean, you wouldn't want Bibi Govinda Maharaj to hug, because he's dangerous, you know. I mean, but Bhakti Charu Maharaj and Kesava Bharati Maharaj, they get into it. So they were hugging all the devotees, and then Bibi Govinda Maharaj and Indrajumna Maharaj were leading the kirtan, and it was a big thing. And I remember there was this one devotee, and he had been in a psychiatric hospital, and they'd given him this horrible medicine where when you stood up you felt, I gotta sit down, and when you sat down you felt like, I gotta stand up. And but somehow or other, while this was going on, one name came into his head, Kesava, Kesava. And he had just chanted that name non-stop, Kesava, 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 Kesava. And that had pulled him through the whole experience. And then he told this, he raised his hand at the end of the class, and he brought this out as a question, right? He told that story, and said, and I chanted, Kesava, Kesava, Kesava. And then he said, what does it mean? That was something, right? I can never forget that. You know? He says, what does it mean, you know? And then, first the speaker said, Krishna with the beautiful hair. And then he looked bewildered, you know. Krishna with the beautiful hair. But then the second explanation came. Kesava, killer of the KC demon. Yes, that made sense. The all-overpowering demon, KC, was enormous. His manes were almost up to the sky. The ground was shaking. Women were having miscarriages just by Casey. He was a flesh-eating horse. That was Casey. Such a demon. And this demon Casey, right, came storming at Krishna. And Krishna did what my mother always told me, you never do. Stick your hand in the mouth of a horse. And he did, you know. He put his hand in the mouth of a horse. And the horse choked on his hand. Right? So that's Kesava, Kesava. So the name, right? So filled with power, and somehow or other, these devotees, Krishna looked after them and gave them what they needed at that time. So the holy name penetrates in so many ways. And now that I'm on this Russian devotees, I know that Sannyas Das, you know, who was in the jail, he was preaching with Morse code on the heating tubes, you know, and with a spoon hitting on the tubes, and like, you know, it took a long time to say ha, and you know, but eventually Hare Krishna, tick tick tick, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, and the whole Maha Mantra, and then the whole jail, and then the question of what is this, tick tick tick, explain why, holy name, tick tick tick, chant full of mercy, tick tick tick, and finally the whole jail started chanting. People were just everywhere in the jail, people started chanting. So what amazing things were going on, and how the holy name reached devotees and just changed everything. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the introduction to the Chaitanya Charitamrita that chanting of Hare Krishna is like taking off in a plane. It says all the things you leave behind become small. See, all the things of the material world become small. Houses like matchbox, little toy cars, insignificant. All the big things of the material world gradually become insignificant by the chanting of the holy name as we take off. And with that we can turn to Krishna. So in this way, everywhere people chanting and chanting, and somehow or other that's really all it takes, this chanting. Sometimes when the devotees were making noise, then by chanting, you know, someone suggested to Srila Prabhupada that maybe they should ask the devotees to be quiet. Prabhupada said, no, no, that's not noise, that's chanting, that's the holy name. Right? So even this is mardanga, it's not noise, it's like, you know, preparing for kirtan, auspicious sound. So, like this, the chanting is having so much effect. We cannot imagine the effect of the Sankirtan movement. And I think the people that are in the Sankirtan movement, they don't themselves realize the potency of what's happening at all. Right? Somehow or other we're here. And Prabhupada is explaining that he says, we don't need microphone.
He says, we use microphone to purify the microphone maker.
Yeah, of course. It's still... So, I don't know.
Sure.
So, this... Mr. Sure... is also getting purified, right? And then you can just imagine someone in that company is I didn't kick it off. Someone in that company is daily packing thousands of microphones in boxes, and one of the workers touched this microphone, and now this microphone, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, is in the Kirtan Academy, and now that person is getting the benefit. And in this way, this movement is purifying the three worlds. So you can imagine the potency. How many people get touched every day? How much mercy goes out? It's inconceivable. Inconceivable. So much talk about extraterrestrials, right, coming on the this planet, abducting people and this and that. I'm quite sure that by now, with their antennas, the extraterrestrials have picked up the holy name. And they brought it back also. And they come from subterranean planets, right? Subterranean heavenly planets, where the standard of life is higher than on this one. But there's no God consciousness. But now there is. Now there is. Huh? Satsarup Maharaj wrote his book Chota about Nimai the mouse, Chota, and Nimai. You know, it's like, and it's in the book, it's a fable, you know, like where basically all the mice have become devotees because of all the prasadam, right? And they have a full, they have temples, they have everything, right? And they even have a GBC, and they have everything. But it's a fact. It's a fact. You know, I was in India in Vrindavan, and I got a lot of malaria in 1 year, 12 times in 1 year. Each time takes 2 weeks to recover. So half the year I was knocked out, and then I'd lost so much weight that they sent me to Australia, you know. And I came to Australia, and I came to Melbourne. And the first thing I saw, I was in the temple in the courtyard, and I saw that the sparrows were twice as fat as in India. So I knew I'd come to the right place, you know, to gain some weight. And no wonder, you know, because Kurma was a resident in the Melbourne temple, and he set the standard for prasadam. And the Melbourne breakfast, I mean, you had... I don't think there was a breakfast like that in the world, right? There was, okay, Gyana Samudra is here, he can help me. But there was khichdi, some yogurt with the khichdi, and puri. There was toast, there was hot halva, there was the offering from the night before with the eggplant sabji, and like, there were the Mongol Arctic sweets. Let's see. Now I have to start thinking. What? Hot milk, fruits. There was fruit also, always. And then sometimes there was pasta and some additional things. And I mean, it was a killer breakfast. It was an inconceivable breakfast. And whatever the devotees couldn't eat, the birds were eating, and that's why they were so fat. And it also worked on me. I regained weight. So that mercy of the Sankirtan movement, of the holy name, of prasadam, it's just, it really is a tidal wave, touching the animals. There is no doubt that these animals are devotees, no doubt. And so the holy name transforms the not only the people, transforms the trees. It mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the echo of the, that echoes of bounces of the trees is the chanting of the trees, and in that way the trees also get delivered. Haridas Thakur is saying, so we should just contemplate, you know. That's why we must chant our rounds loud to deliver the germs and you know, and all the other creatures, the ants, whatever. And in that way, everything becomes auspicious. The universe is sarvaga. There are living beings between the atoms. There's living beings every day get purified. So it says the walls get purified, the living beings in the walls get purified. It's like everything changes and changes and changes like that. We had devotees who were in Amsterdam. They were distributing prasadam in a mental hospital. And then, after a while, we got these strange phone calls from people, you know, and saying strange things, and then Hare Krishna, and strange things, because they were also chanting. They were all like, it had spread all throughout because of the prasadam. And those things are just amazing. And then you have the Sankirtan devotees, right, who serve the holy name and distribute the books which glorify the holy name. And then you get the endless amazing Sankirtan stories. And then have this one story from the Benelux, where a long time ago, where this devotee had a box of books and the police was after him for some reason. So he went into this alley, and around the corner, you know, to avoid the police. He ran into this alley, and then it was a dead-end alley. But there was a door, a big door in the wall, and he tried if it was open, and it was. And he went in, and he came into this long corridor, and there was light at the end of the corridor, and he walked through the corridor, and at the end, he walked straight onto a stage. And then the man with the microphone said, "Ah, here are the prizes," and there was an applause. And the man took the boxes, the box with the books, and he started giving everyone one of the books. Small books are in the boxes. Everyone got a book, and then at the end he said, "How much?" Right? And it was a conference of butchers. And somehow or other, by Lord Chaitanya's arrangement, they all got the mercy, they all got the connection to the Sankirtan movement, completely controlled by the Lord, but through some miracle, right? I mean, transcendental, completely, 100%. Is there any doubt? You have to be a hardcore atheist to doubt a story like this. There are such stories where we understand that ultimately the Sankirtan movement is not organized by people. That it's not that here is a movement where we're chanting Hare Krishna with some people. This is a movement which has deeper levels. Yes, there's an organization, just like Chota had a GBC, we also have one, right? There is an organization, but then there is something else. There is the holy name, right? And the holy name acts regardless of the ups and downs of the movement. The movement knows its successes, the movement knows its problems. The fly seeks the sore, and the bee seeks the honey. But beyond that, on a deeper level, there is the holy name. And that always stands, you know. I've heard cynical jokes, and I'll tell you one cynical joke about faith. You know, like, the English always make joke about the Irish, and, you know, I'm from the Netherlands, and the Dutch always make jokes about the Belgians, right? That's just how it is, right? Others make jokes about the Polish, and so on, you know. Jokes are like that, all at the expense of others. And then you have this joke, how many, at least that's how I heard it in Holland, what I grew up with, how many Belgians to change a light bulb, you know, 41, one to hold the bulb and 40 to change the room around, right? You know, that one, right? Sarcastic Belgian joke. So then someone said, how many gurus does it take to change a light bulb? It's hard to say, they keep falling down. Cynical jokes with lack of faith, right? Or broken faith. But the holy name has nothing to do with that. The holy name can always rejuvenate anyone. The holy name is always there. The holy name doesn't depend on anything. The holy name stands. Therefore, on the deeper level in this movement, there's the holy name, regardless of anything. And if we take shelter, we can get the result. And deeper still, deeper than the process of the holy name, Lord Chaitanya is there. And that is the added element. There is the holy name, and then there's Lord Chaitanya, who comes with the holy name. And then it says, Katanchana smiteyas minduskaram sukaram bhavet, that whatever is difficult, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, becomes easy. And without his mercy, even what is easy is difficult. So this is the point, that that's why in this age the chanting of the holy name is the Yuga Dharma, because Lord Chaitanya makes it easy. In all ages, the holy name is always available as a process. But now, even if performed a little bit, very quickly the result is attained, because now the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is at it. Therefore now, especially with this mercy of Lord Chaitanya, now it is possible to very quickly attain all benefits. And it's almost 1:15, and that's the end of this morning's lecture. But if someone has one last question, we'll give it a shot. Otherwise we have to... Okay, here it is, yes. As loud as possible. Holy name purifying? Purifying the walls.
From what? From what? She asked from what?
From what?
Yeah, from what?
What does the holy name purify? Okay.
From what?
Okay, that's easy. There are four categories of anarthas that are identified in scripture. One is called Hridaya Dolbalyam, weakness of the heart. The other one is Tattva Vibrama. It is the philosophical misconception, so misunderstanding of what is the truth. And the other one is aparad, right? Making offenses. And the fourth one, hold on. I said it's easy now, I've blocked my mind. Four. Asatrisna. Thirsting for the temporary. So we get freed from thirsting for the temporary, philosophical misconception, offenses, and
weakness of heart.
So weakness of heart means we know better. Still we do. And because we are attached to be worshipped, attached to recognition, attached to position, and all those things take us. And that's why we start to pretend, because we want to look better than we are. So these are Hridaya Dolbalyam, and we get a business mentality, Kuttinati. We start to always think of what looks best. So all these kind of anarthas are destroyed by the chant. We lose interest in material sense gratification. Eventually we even lose interest in the desire to compete with Krishna and be the most important, the center of the attention, the world at our feet. There's a story of a girl, and she was going to marry a man who was the most wonderful man in the world. And then a bit later she married another man. So her friend said, "I thought you were going to marry so-and-so. He's the most wonderful man in the world." He said, "Yes, he is the most wonderful man in the world. But then I met so-and-so, and he made me feel like I was the most wonderful woman in the world. Then I married him." More loud. Well, I said that first of all, we're always looking for purification. That's the foundation. Then on top of that, you can relish. On top of that, you can actually find nectar. But the basis of everything is purification. So even when there is no nectar, those days that there is no nectar, those days, at least we still look for purification. So like that, the foundation is purification. And on top of that, we look for taste. And some days we have it, some days we don't. So the days we have no taste, at least those days we're still looking for purification. Not that those days we become discouraged and in those days we think this is too much. No, those days with enthusiasm we're looking for purification, remembering how much mercy is there. So then that becomes our motivation. So that's the first level of motivation. Higher level is higher taste, which is sometimes there, sometimes not. See you later. Thank you very much for coming this morning. And tomorrow, same time, same place.